Go ahead and get your confessions out. Shouldn't be any surprise that we're going over those tonight. And please don't ask confessions for what? I confess that I have confessions. And then go ahead and open your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm going to share just a little bit from the Word tonight, not a long time. And then we're going to do the confessions for elections. Then we're going to spend some time praying. Then we will close with praise and worship. And, you know, it's up to the Lord how long we worship. Maybe just one song? I don't know. We'll just see what He does. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I made reference to this passage this morning. And you know, what we heard this morning was basically, you know, God was just laying it out to us. Here's the deal. Now, either you either want what I want or you don't. And I feel sorry for Christians that take issue with the Word of God. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, in verse 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually." That's what we're after. We're not simply after what he talks, you know, healing their land, changing things in our country. We want that. But more than that, we want verse 16. We want God's presence to be perpetually strong in this place. That's what we're really after. Because that's what a part of outpouring and revival. That's what we want. But yet we have to do our part. He's already said here, this is what I'm willing to do. But if you do your part, then I will do mine. And if you don't, then I won't. And a lot of times in some churches, what they call a tremendous move of God, or you know, the presence of God is really strong, sometimes I think that may be more emotion than God's true presence. You know, I don't want to be excessively critical on something like that, because not being in a service, it can be kind of hard to tell what is and is not emotion or the presence of God. But God has said right here, He says, look, if you do your part, then I respond and I do my part. And one of the reasons it's like that is because He's not going to bless sin. He's not going to bless disobedience. And that's why He says, look, if you're called by my name, which, if you're born again, you're called by His name. It takes humility to admit you've been wrong. Even if you're not in sin, but you believed incorrectly concerning elections and policies and so on and so forth, it takes humility to admit you've been wrong. Even if the only person you admit it to is God, it takes humility. And He says, you know, you got to pray, seek my face. I find it interesting. He says, pray and seek my face. It's not simply a matter of now I lay me down to sleep. It's not simply a matter of, you know, we come together and we, all right, folks, now let's pray. And we pray, you know, no. This is pray and seek my face. You can be seeking God's face without what we would traditionally call prayer. Just, God, I want to be in your presence. God, I'm just going to sit here in your presence. I'm not going to ask for anything. I'm just going to sit here because I want you to be a part of what I'm doing right now. And that, You know, that's just kind of an example of this. And he says, turn from your wicked ways. This is not an option. Why would you not want to turn away from that which God calls wicked? Why wouldn't you want to do that? The life that is in us is more powerful than anything the flesh wants to do. We're the ones that make the decision to turn from the wicked ways. And he says, look, I'll hear and I'll move, and we'll get to the place to where my presence will be perpetual. So he's told us right here, if you do this, I will move. I will move. And then we also looked over in Ezekiel 22. So turn over there. Ezekiel 22. And in verse, well, just go all the way toward the end of the chapter. Verse 30. God is, it's like he's talking to Ezekiel. And he says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Do you realize that as we are here right now, I have no idea how many churches there are in the Miami Valley. Hundreds. From little bitty ones to ones that are running maybe 1,000 or more. I don't know how many of those churches are doing anything tonight or tomorrow night or whatever as far as prayer over the elections. I don't know. And I'm not going to say that we're the only one, because I don't believe that. I just don't know where others are. But God is saying, I don't know, when I read this, I don't want to say that God is desperate. But to me, when I read this, there's almost a tone of desperation to where God is saying, I'm trying to find somebody who will intercede on behalf of what's going on to make a difference, because if I can just find somebody... You know what this reminds me of? Abraham. God, if there's 50. And God said, all right, if there's 50, what if there's 45? If there's 45, what if there's 40, 30, 35, 30, 20, 20? I mean, all the way down, it's like an auction in reverse. It's what if, you know, like 10, what about, you know, as long as Abraham kept going down, God was saying, okay, you know, if these are the terms you are presenting to me as you intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah, I will honor those terms. We're covenant partners. What if Abraham had just said, God, I don't know if there's any righteous in that city or not. I know my nephew Lot is there, but I'm asking you, please don't. Please don't. You know what? It's possible God would have said, all right, I will honor that and I won't. But something's got to change in that city. You ever thought about that? And this kind of reminds me of what happened back then. God is saying, I sought for a man, somebody, who would stand between me and the judgment and intercede. I couldn't find anyone. No one. Now, obviously, a lot of this is kind of symbolic, because I'm sure Ezekiel was willing to pray and intercede. Well, God is, what he's doing here in this, he's presenting a concept. And I will tell you this, I personally believe that it's the prayers of the saints. You know, the Second Chronicles chapter 7 prayers of the saints that have helped defer a lot of judgment that would have come upon this nation by now. And he says, couldn't find anybody. And because I couldn't find anybody, my wrath, it's poured out. That's just the way it is. So here we are, we have this responsibility to pray. And God is saying, I want to move. I want to save. I want to keep the judgment from coming. I want to do this, but I am depending on you. Can you imagine that? God is up in heaven saying, I want to do this for you. I want to help you out. But I need your help. I need you to come before me. I need you to do your part. And it releases me then to move. What an incredible responsibility we have. And you know, there are a lot of Christians, sadly, they just say, well, you know, God's going to do whatever God's going to do. Then why did He say, I sought for a man to make up the hedge? Why did He say that? God needs our prayers. That's the way this relationship with Him works. And so we have a responsibility then to pray over the elections and to pray, and I'll say it like this, to pray for there to be a disruption in the camp and the campaigns of the liberals. Because God doesn't want them in charge. And we need to pray and intercede for wisdom and so forth in the camp of the conservatives. I don't know if you read this. I should have printed it out, but I didn't. But did you know that there are groups of witches throughout the nation that have been working hard to put curses on Donald Trump? I'm not making this up. And there was an interview with one of them, and I don't know if... All I know, there was an interview with one of them. Maybe this one is the head of a clan or something. I don't know. They're interviewing this one, and she was saying, we've been trying to do this, put these curses on Donald Trump, but we're having a really hard time getting this done. She said, there is something going on that is keeping us from putting our curses on him. There's some kind of a power that's interfering with what we want to do. Now, you know what? Praise God for that. But there's something about that that it kind of bothers me a little bit, in that this witch is able to detect what's happening in the spirit. I should be able to do the same. Think about this. I should be able to do the same. So maybe I'm not as ear to the post with God as I should be. But I thank God that witch is able to figure out there's a power at work. And what's amazing to me is she was saying, don't know what it is, but there's a power. I'm thinking, how could you not know what it is? Nevertheless, thank God. I mean, thank God. You know, and if you go through into the Old Testament and so forth, read things, there are passages in there about, may their words, and I'm going to paraphrase, return back unto them for destruction, or however it's worded in Scripture. Well, praise God. You know, may the curses, and I don't want people, anyway, whatever they speak, may it bounce off a wall of glory and hit them in the head. Whatever that means. The point I'm making is this. We're praying for conservative victory. You better believe there are people out there praying for liberal victory. It's a spiritual war. Now look over in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus is, in Matthew chapter 5, it's, you know, the Beatitudes and so forth. But what Jesus is doing, He's introducing kingdom concepts to people. And in Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. In other words, demonstrate the nature and character of God. And this is interesting because this kind of goes along with what I was saying this morning in that, see, you can't do what he's saying here when you are trashing the liberals and their camp, and you can't do this. You can't. Oh, God, I hate them. I wish they were dead. But bless them, oh, Lord. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't. Because this is so interesting. He says, think about what God does. He makes the sun shine to rise, the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. In other words, God's blessing them and they don't even know it. Why? Because He loves them. And when they stand before Him in judgment, they will not be able to say, who are you? You never did anything for me. You see what I'm getting at? And He says to love them and to pray for them. I would say that we're being despitefully used. I would say that they demonstrate, I'm talking the liberal camps now, especially those extreme, I would say that they demonstrate hate for us. I would say that they persecute us. I mean, when they tell you that you can't stand on a street corner and pray, that's persecution, guys. And Jesus is saying, look, if you want to know what God is like, you pray for those people. You pray for them. Now, what's the number one thing that we should pray for? That they die, drop over dead? No, that they get the plague, that their toes fall off? I mean, what? No, the number one thing is that they know God. That they know Jesus. That's number one. That's what Jesus died for. I don't want them to be sick. But I do know this. There comes a point when a person goes so far, Romans chapter 1, where they open themselves to all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. And you know what? When I'm praying, there are times when, I mean, I'm praying for their salvation and so on and so forth, but then I also say, Father, if they've gone so far that judgment is being released on them, then let it be so. Because see, I don't know where they are, but I do know this. God's Word is God's Word, and I need to get in line with it. And, He dealt with me years ago about my attitude toward the liberals and what they do. I'm not even going to say what I used to think. It wouldn't be too appropriate right here. But He dealt with me about this. And now, I pray for them. But I also know this. They are not looking at a good future if they continue on this path. And I can also tell you, God does not want them devastating this nation. He doesn't. So now what we're going to do is go through these confessions. And then after the confessions, Jamie's going to come up and lead us in some praise and worship and close out the service. So if you have those confessions, let's begin. Father, I come before You on behalf of our nation. We, Your children, have sinned, committed iniquity, done wickedly, and have rebelled by departing from the fullness and standards of Your Word. We have not paid attention to those Who have raised up, who speak Your truth and called us to repentance. We have not held the pastors and other ministers of Your Word accountable for their sin and doctrinal error. We have fallen short of Your desires. I personally repent for my sin and failure in all these areas. I also ask You to forgive us, Your church, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hear this prayer and choose this place to Yourself for a house of sacrifice as I offer to You my own life as a living sacrifice and my praise as the sacrifice of my lips. Choose this house and sanctify it as a holy dwelling place of Your presence. May Your name and Your heart dwell here forever. Father, as You have forgiven me all sin for Christ's sake, I choose to forgive every person their transgressions against me. Just as You loved me and gave Your Son to be the sacrifice for my sins, I recognize Jesus as the sacrifice for all sins committed against me. I love those who committed those sins in the same way that You love them and both them and me. I ask that you do not hold them accountable for any wrong they have done unto me. Father, please move in our land. Heal our nation. May the glory of your presence be known. Lord, I present myself to you as one willing to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before you on behalf of our nation. I lift up our President, Vice President, Congress, Supreme Court, and all who are in leadership at all levels of government, from the national level to the local level. Please forgive our leaders for their sin and ungodly actions, laws, and positions that are opposed to your word. Touch their lives with your presence. May they all know Jesus in a personal way as Savior and Lord. By faith, I call them born again and filled with your Holy Spirit. I present to you my prayers, my confessions, and my praise and worship. Use it all in the way you want to bring about your will. Release your glory and anointing through me to bring about the changes you desire. Father, I lift up the coming elections. Please keep moving on the hearts and minds of all voters concerning those running for president and every office on the national, state, and local level. Draw our attention to those for whom we should vote. May we all see the truth about each candidate. I come against a spirit of confusion that would want to cause people to vote for the wrong person. I declare the spirit of confusion bound in Jesus' name. You silence your tongue. You will not have an impact on this nation and the body of Christ concerning these elections. No demonic plan for stealing, killing, destroying, or interfering with the elections will succeed. I call the Father's will to be accomplished in the upcoming elections. Satan, I call you and all your devils fallen from all levels of authority, influence, and interference in the elections. All of you spirits are subject unto me in Jesus' name. Nothing of yours shall by any means hurt the candidates in the election. Jesus has completely and totally defeated you and all of your principalities, powers, and devils. He made an open show of you and triumphed over you for all eternity. Jesus is the Lord of every part of the elections. The victory of Christ is known in the elections. I speak to you, principalities assigned to our nation's capital and the elections. In the name of Jesus, you are cast down. Your rule is broken. Your mind is filled with confusion. You cannot think straight to carry out your plans. You speak against other devils, and your house is divided. It cannot stand. It has come to an end. You are thoroughly and utterly defeated. You cannot rise back up to your seat. You walk in blindness. Division has filled your camp. Our nation's capital and these elections are totally and completely loosed from your hands. The seat of authority in this nation is occupied by righteousness. Jesus, the government of your kingdom rests upon you, and I say that our nation's government rests on you. May the person God wants as our president be filled with a continual flow of anointing from the Holy Spirit, kingdom knowledge, and the wisdom of God concerning every decision, including those pertaining to the presidential campaign. I come against every principality, power, ruler of darkness, and spiritual wickedness that would present a stronghold against godly leaders and against Congress. I speak to you and command you to be cast out now in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against our leader shall prosper, and I call condemned every tongue that would rise up against them in false judgment. Father, judge those who run for any office as to how they stand concerning your word and holiness. We do not fear them or their threats and promises to steal this nation from your kingdom and use it to further their plans for abortion, sexual perversions and abominations, suppression of the gospel, and all other unholy plans which conflict with your word. Break the power of their wickedness. Break the influence of their words, and may their pride take them down. Laugh at them and have them in derision. They call evil good and good evil and are wise in their own eyes. Destroy their wisdom and bring to naught their foolish words and practices. Lord, make your words in our mouth fire, and may the plans of the enemy be as wood, consumed and devoured by that fire. Set ambushments against all those running for office and those in the media who support them who are opposed to your word and holy standards. They are enemies of the cross. May confusion fill their camps as it did in the camps of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. May they turn against each other. May their words return to them as their own judgment. May their words be as weapons against themselves and swallow them up in utter defeat. May they devastate each other. May their campaigns, plans, and agendas collapse at their feet. May the foolishness in their hearts come forth from their mouths in a way that will cause even the media to turn against them. Move in such a fashion that all ungodly and unholy plans and motives will be fully exposed and brought to light. May their words against truth and holiness turn into the death of their political campaigns. May they eat the fruit of their words. May they be swallowed up by the foolishness that proceeds from their lips. May they be shamed in the eyes of your church and the lost. May the abundant riches of the spoils of their defeat be transferred into the kingdom of God. Father, move upon your church and lay intercession on all those who make themselves available to you for that kind of prayer. Move upon the pastors of your churches that they would call for times of prayer over these elections. I say in Jesus' name that the righteous are in authority and that our nation rejoices. Jesus, you are Lord over this ministry. You are Lord over this region. You are Lord over this state. You are Lord over this nation. It is your land. May all its inhabitants fear and stand in awe of you. In your hand there is power and might, and no one can withstand you. You are our God, and we dwell in you. You hear our cry and our prayers. We stand here covered in the shadow of your hand. Your words fill our mouth, and we speak them forth to establish your will in our nation. Use your words that we speak to plant foundations of righteousness in our nation so that you would desire to call the people of this nation your people. Father, this battle is not ours, it is yours. You are with us. O God, we praise you and we worship you, for your mercy endureth forever. We praise you for the beauty of holiness. We praise you for our salvation. We praise you and glorify you for the victory in these elections. We call this nation a valley of Berekah, blessed of the Lord. We rejoice with great joy at the victory of our Lord. Father, as heirs of salvation, we ask that angels be dispatched to assist these things to be done. Angels, go to your assignments as the Father directs. Enforce the victories we have spoken this day and drive back the forces of evil. May the glory of the Lord fill this country and may revival fires burn with unprecedented intensity. Satan, you are defeated in our nation in all of the upcoming elections. Jesus is the Lord over our nation in the upcoming elections. May the Father's will be done in our nation. Father, right now we are going to come before you and spend some time in prayer. And Father, I pray that at all of the places where people are going to be voting this coming Tuesday, whatever they call them, polling stations, it doesn't matter. I am asking you that you would please fill these voting locations with your presence. Even in the parking lot, Father, fill these places with your presence. Speak to the people in a way that they will understand. Guide them, direct them, and lead them, Father. Impress upon them. If they're thinking of voting for liberals, Father, impress upon them. You don't need to vote for that person. You don't need to cast a vote in that direction. You don't need to do that. No, you need to vote for this other person. You need to vote for that conservative person. Even, Father, if their hand is upon the voting machines and they're getting ready to vote for the liberals, at that moment, God, may they suddenly change and vote in the direction they had not intended because of what they're sensing in their heart. Father, I thank you so much as we pray, and we're praying in the Spirit, that, Father, we know that our minds and our understanding are unfruitful, but we say you can use this prayer as we pray according to your will on behalf of these elections. And, Father, we praise you for it. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, now we're going to spend the next 20 minutes, make it about 18 minutes, in prayer, and then we're going to close out with worship.